Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Matt Steinmetz, Dan Dibley, down the Guru Johnson. We'll be here till 2 o'clock. We got a lot to talk about, not just the 49ers. There is a lot going on. Even some Warriors news. We'll talk about that. A couple guys there they may be interested in. Also, there's Giannis. Buzzing.
Cheerleading, for lack of a better way to describe it. Richard Sherman's not that kind of defensive leader. Quan Alexander is. So you can't really put a finger on those intangibles in this discussion, guys.
Interesting.
I'm talking about Steiny, man.
Okay. I can't let that go.
It's like if you don't have the players, what the hell does leadership?
Right,
what the hell does leadership really mean? You can scream like firecrackers all you want. If you're not good, your words are going to be nothing if you don't have the horses. And that's what we're seeing with the defense. Now we're talking. I'm not saying you guys are, but I'm hearing leadership, and this is going to be Rocky and a rallying cry. If you don't got talent, guess what? Your ass is going to get whooped.
Well, no, I disagree. Yeah, but the leadership's the difference between 4-12 and 8-8, maybe. And that's important.
Yeah, it's damn important because these players have pride. The coaches have pride. And you're not in a situation where, looking at the teams on paper right now, Thursday morning, the Rams aren't 2 touchdowns better than you. Vegas tells you that they're 3.5 points better. That is one play either way. That's you getting to Jared Goff and getting a pick six. That's you getting a fumble six or maybe a kick return. 3.5 points, Guru, is not an insurmountable deficit in the eyes of the odds makers. So you just need the players that you do have to go out and play better than you did against Philly and Miami.
I guess I'm feeling down, Steiny. They were 9-point favorites, 7-point favorites for the Dolphins. And, again, it's just how are they going to turn this thing around if new people – you know what I mean? What's going to change?
Turn that frown upside down. Listen, okay?
How
are the 49ers going to beat the – they're going to beat the Rams the same way the Dolphins beat the 49ers. Underdogs come in and win every once in a while. And let me tell you something. 49ers got their backs up against the wall. I mean, they're underdogs. Maybe that's motivation for them. You don't think those guys in that locker room are saying they're counting us out, man? You don't think George Kittle isn't going to – I'll tell you what, George Kittle's going to have a damn good game. You want to bet me on that? I'll take George Kittle in that game.
How many sacks is he going to have?
Let me tell you something about Raheem Mostert. He's going to have an opportunity to flourish on Sunday night. In fact, you know what? And Dan, I'm sorry, Dibs. Guru and I talk about this a lot when he says, God, why, I wish they'd run Mostert 20 times. And I say, well, he's not made to carry 20 times. I'll bet you they are not. He's going to get 15. He's going to get at least 15. He's not going home with carries in his back pocket.
He's going to have Shanahan stay on the front side of that play card and not get to the exotics on the back. You're going to have to stay in the game and at least stay patient and try to run the football in this situation. If not, I think this one could get away from you again. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow with Kyle's Mad Props. So we see where the Kittle receptions over under is, and the most.
And these will be recorded, Dibs. We're going to record these props, you know, these answers.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and mark the tape. But Steiny's bullish on both those players, so I'm just interested to see where those numbers lie as it pertains to offensively for the 49ers. Defensively, you know, Javier made good points, as he always does, but I don't know if it matters what coverage you play. You're going up against Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods and a good tight end in Tyler Higbee, so it's going to be hands full anyway for this defense, no matter what coverage you play.
The morning show had Isaac Bruce on, the former Ram, and they asked him if the 49ers and the Rams is a rivalry. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, you know, you're talking about NFC West supremacy. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just look at, you know, the last couple of years. I mean, the two NFC representatives for the Super Bowl have come out of this division. There's a lot of history there. I mean, great names on both sides of the ball. During my era, we took our lumps. We won a very good team from a talent standpoint when I first got there. So the 49ers kind of ruled that rivalry for a while. But I feel like we got some firepower in, and they had firepower as well. So when both teams were even, I think it was pretty much a sorry 49ers at that time.
I'm going to borrow from Bill Parcells, and I know this is one of Guru's favorites. You know, if you have more than one rivalry, you don't have a rivalry at all. Oh, and I know Parcells uses it. I mean, seriously, this is what kind of bothers me. And I'm going to use the Niners, but I can use any team. You can't have seven rivals. You can't. That's too many, and it diminishes the rival. Are the Seahawks a rival? Oh, yeah, the Seahawks are a rival. Are the Rams a rival? Oh, my, the Rams are definitely a rivalry. Well, the Cowboys, they're a rivalry. They go back way. Everybody goes way back. You can't have six rivalries in a league. That's called your division or your opponent. You can't.
You only name three, and the Cowboys aren't a rivalry. You don't play them all the time. The Rams are a rivalry.
Come on.
The Seahawks are a rivalry. The Cowboys, you've had some classic games against them, but if I asked you, Guru, the last big game you played against Dallas, it's the better part of 25 years, quite frankly. The Dallas is not a rivalry. The Rams, absolutely it is. You've played them 141 times. The Niners lead 71-67.
No.
There have been three draws, Steiny. That's a rivalry. It's been going back and forth. It's like a classic 15-round fight.
It used to be a boxing match because they used to have draws. They didn't even have ties.
They still have ties. Actually, ties are on the rise, Steiny, with this new cockamamie overtime. Don't get me started.
Yeah. Come on, guys. I've changed.
Goo, tell Dibley. Goo, you think the Cowboys-Niners are a rivalry.
It's one of the ultimate rivalries of all time in the NFL. And it's one of those things like a fine wine, Dibs. It doesn't need to be touched. It's like you don't like somebody. That doesn't mean you got a friend in the street you don't like. You don't fight them every day. You just know when you see them, that's a rival for whatever reason. And what Dallas and the Niners did, where the winner of that NFC championship game was basically the Super Bowl winner, that just marinates, and it can't be flawed. And you know what makes it greater is you can go 20-something years without having a sequel, but you know when both teams get back at it and they meet up again, nostalgia. And that's what I'm talking about, Dibs. The Rams are a rival, but you can't say they're not because teams have hit rock bottom. It's one of those things that, and I'm a division guy, when they're in your division, damn it, they're a rival, Dibs.
Well, that's three right off the bat.
Yeah, that's Arizona's not a rival. And when they were in St. Louis, and then now they're in Arizona.
Shout out Neil Lomax.
Yeah. The Atlanta Falcons were never a rival, even though they were in the NFC West. They were a team you played twice, but they weren't a
Deion
rival.
Deion and Jerry Rice, Dibs? That was a rival.
That's a matchup, Goo. That's two out of 22, not even counting special teams, which we all know counts as a third. You don't have to give them
I disagree with that, too.
You know, the classic matchup with Dallas, it's a great matchup. It's not a rivalry. When the schedule comes out, let me ask you this, Goo. Do you know after this year the next time these two teams are going to play?
No, I don't, Dibs.
There you go. And that,
do you know what uniforms they'll wear,
though? At the latest, it'll be 2024 because you rotate divisions every 4 years. Now, if you finish in the same place as them, they may be the crossover next year. My point is, we don't even know when the next matchup is after this year.
Hey, Dibs, real quick, it could be they match up and then meet again in the NFC Championship, but both qualify for the playoffs. So that's the beauty of that question.
I'm just saying
it looks bleak now, but it could happen.
You said they're more likely to go 4-12 than 9-7. Now we got both teams in the NFC title game.
But you get what I'm saying. You qualify for the playoffs and win, you can meet in the offs, which makes it 10 times more than a regular season game.
Dalton versus Beathard in late January.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
I got to say,
wow.
I'm just fired up to be here today.
Don't sleep on the red rifle, though. I'm just saying.
No, I like the red-headed pistol.
Oh, I don't think the Cowboys are done.
No, because they got a backup that's a former starter, and that's not what Mullins and Beathard are. But I guess at the end of the day, Steiny and Dibs, I ask you this real quick. Who's to pay the price for the backup quarterback not being sufficient? Is that Shanahan? Is that Lynch? Because that's what we're seeing. That's the rat on the table. Both of them are insufficient at their job.
Okay, who's a sufficient backup?
Andy Dalton.
How do you know?
He was out there.
How do you know? He
won him a game Sunday, kept the season alive.
Okay, Mullins won him a game the other day, too, when everybody's – and
Mullins won him one game. Mullins lost him a game.
Mullins won one game, and we had the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles saying that team has two starting quarterbacks. Mullins may never get on an NFL field again.
Hey, I bow down to you.
I mean, I've never seen – by the way – is it my imagination, or is he just done now, Mullins?
Now?
He did just
who
have
would
a
want him?
I mean, if you have three bicycles and you got one bike that's got a flat tire and, you know, the chain's a little rusty and it's your third bike, but you know if you fix it up, you can still ride it. That's where you are right now. You got Jimmy G, which is your prize bicycle, and it's not running great, but it's your best option right now. Your backup bike is an old beach cruiser. It's only got one gear, but you know you can get A to B. You're not even worried about Nick Mullins yet, but you realize with a new tube and some grease on the chain, you can get that thing going again.
Wow. Dibs, you know me. You know me pretty well. Goo, you
too. Too well, right, some would say.
I try to not play into stuff, but how would you handle something like this from the 408, Jeff in Sunnyvale? Hey, Steiny saying Mostert getting 15 carries. That is not a bold prediction by any means. And Jeff in Sunnyvale says that's weak sauce. Raheem Mostert, how many times in his career he's carried over 15 times?
Including the playoffs?
Including over 15. If you put that little caveat in.
I'm going two, Steiny. I'm going two. Oh, two.
Twice.
Wow.
Two times. They had a third time where he carried 15 times in week one against Arizona.
How many times has he been the featured back, though? Maybe eight? Eight times in his career? Because he didn't get a lot of the PT until late last year, once Matt Breida fell out of favor. So, you know, not that I'm trying to defend Jeff in Sunnyvale. You and I are much closer than Jeff and I are, although I'm warming to Jeff with every passing moment. I just think that, you know, Mostert hasn't been the, quote, starter for that many games.
And the 415 is telling Guru, please stop calling it the offs.
The streets call it the offs.
What do you mean you're seeing it?
The streets call it the offs.
I thought we had an agreement. We wouldn't move forward with the show unless Guru would not open up the text line. I thought that was in one of the clauses.
Dibs, you know?
Get off the text line.
I think, you know.
I got it right here in front of me.
Yeah, just a few dollops here and there. It's just when he would marry the text line. And, Goo, I got to come clean.
That was early on, though, Dibs. I've been doing great.
Maybe this is my addition to
COVID. Oh, my gosh. Are you
going to
do this?
But,
are you going to do
this,
Dibs?
I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this.
Can I set it up? Can I set it up?
Please.
I think I know what Dibley's going to say. And
I'm
Guru,
a little nervous here. What's
and
going
Guru,
on?
I hope it doesn't change your guys' relationship. Oh, it also is an insight. It's a little window into Dan Dibley, the little elf.
Okay.
The little imp. The little guy who just likes to stir.
I'm bracing.
Go ahead,
Dibley. I'm bracing.
Well, I've been known to be passive-aggressive, Goo, and I had asked you to your face a number of times, Goo, I think you'd be better if you just got off the text line and you tried and you'd go back. And I'd listen to your show because I'm a big fan of the midday show. And you'd reference the text line again and again and again. And so I said to Kyle, I said, Kyle, I'm going to start texting the text line. And so I would fire off things like guru of nothing. And
I remember that. KD used that one too. A guru of what?
Yeah. I actually one time on the Chill Not a Body text line, 888-957-9570. I believe I weighed in with less guru, more Bonte. I believe that was.
Do
one
you
of my
know ideas. Real quick, Steiny? I got a confession. I used to get the most vitriol texts and put it in my phone to see if it was one of my coworkers. Damn, I must have missed
you.
You
never cross-checked
me. I used
me.
To put it in
I
my phone.
It.
I'm trying to cross-reference. I'm like, let me see. And you got away scot-free, man.
Yeah, and my bit was always to Kyle. I said, Kyle, let's see if I can get Guru to read my text on the air. And you'd be like, oh, 415. I see what you're saying. I'm not a bum, 415.
See, I had you at 510. That's probably why.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm proud of you for getting off the text line. But just know if you happen to dabble back in it, you may get a guru of nothing.
By the way, this text is from the streets, and they say we don't call it the offs. It's from the streets.
One person.
Anyway, there you go.
I refer to it as the offs guru myself. Occasionally, it's not my go-to.
I used to see my boy Red Silk Basie in the union. You coming over when I sing? Go have on spot. You coming to watch the offs? What's you from the store? Then we just have a party. Red
Count
Silk Basie. No, Silk Basie. Red Silk Basie.
There's only one
best
Basie,
jump.
And it ain't Silk, man.
Who are
number
you?
21. Number 21 at Logan, the best jumper you ever seen, Dibs. Reggie Basie.
It doesn't matter. He will never occupy the George Washington spot on Mount Basie more. Ever. Ever. He can't. He'll never be Batman. Yeah. He just won't. He just won't.
He ain't trying to be Batman.
Oh, he's not?
Yeah.
Shout out, Basie. You know you're my guy.
What the hell's going on, man?
I'll tell you what's going on. We got Rams 49ers 520 Sunday. Guru's favorite game of the day, the 520 game. I'm on record saying I prefer 1 o'clock starts, but this will allow me to enjoy Sunday a little more, and then pop it on at 520 under the lights at Levi's Stadium in front of a few fans. And let me ask you this, Goo, real quick. How do you feel about when we've had a chance to watch baseball, basketball, and baseball in the pandemic on television? What are some of the pros and cons that which has fulfilled you, let's say, the most?
Baseball. Baseball has, because I don't feel like any team's getting an advantage. But I got to be honest, the bubble life for basketball and the fact that there were no fans, like Jamal Murray, could he have done that on the road in Utah when he went just nuclear? Not hating on him, but I just wonder. And then I'm watching Aaron Rodgers in New Orleans, and there's no false starts because there's no crowd. And I'm like, it's still about the X's and O's, Steiny, but technically you guys aren't getting any false starts and everybody's hearing you because there are no fans. And to me, that's a big deal and a big advantage to the visiting teams.
Yeah, to me, it's definitely been the NFL. I don't even think it's really close because you have that ambient crowd noise. Yeah. Some stadiums still have a smattering of people, which I'll tell you what, if you watch a lot of NFL games and you watch the fourth quarters of some games, not every stadium is packed to the gills.
No doubt.
And mostly it's just if you get that tight camera shot on the field and just the field, it may as well be played in front of 100,000. I think basketball comes off the worst just because it's indoors and the crowd is so close. You just get used to the crowd being a factor in basketball. Dibs, what do you think?
I like the video monitor, though, that they had as the courtside seats. I thought that was pretty cool from an optical standpoint. And for me, the only weird thing about baseball is on the foul ball into the seats where it just kind of rattles around. Football looks like football because you don't get a lot of crowd shots anyway because, you know, it's so much game action and replay, and then let's go back to the studio for highlights and all that other stuff. So I would agree that basketball looks the oddest, but I'm with Guru. I enjoyed the baseball the most, and normally I wouldn't watch as much baseball as I have, and part of the pandemic positivity of the baseball format was we had games at 9 a.m. in the early rounds. So
I love that.
Right.
Yeah, I was coming off the tail end of the morning career, and you dovetail right into some Braves baseball. Then you got a game at 11, one at 1. That was kind of fun. It reminded me of being a kid, Steiny, when you had day playoff baseball.
By the way, Dibs, forgive me for not asking. How are you adjusting to the new time slot?
It's incredible. Still waking up early, but you realize how much there is to do. Not things you have to do, but things you can do. Walks and gardening and just stopping
you
to enjoy a cup of
coffee. You garden before the show?
Yeah, I did a little watering today and make sure the hydrangeas continue to flourish during this hot period. You got to water early. You know, you don't want to water in the heat of the day.
Right.
Thank you.
You put up a picture on the IG, I believe, Dibs, not to too much information. It was like the sunset. It was beautiful.
Lafayette Reservoir, did a little early morning walk. And, you know, as you know, Goo, you're getting to the age that Steiny are where you're going to wake up anyway. Spoiler alert, kids. You're waking up either at 2:07, 4:14, 5:19.
Norm calls that waking up with the chickens.
Above. Yeah.
Norm would call that waking up with the chickens.
The chickens don't have to go downstairs to use the bathroom. So you got that to look forward to, kids. Spadoni, yeah,
basically
Kyle.
Yeah. Your life just becomes naps over the course of 24 hours, essentially.
Not me yet. I'm hanging on. I don't like that, Dibs. You didn't put me in a bed.
All you millennial.
Can I get 4 hours before I have to get up and go to the bathroom?
There you go.
If you can get five. Not five, not six.
Oh, jeez.
LeBron's talking about the aging male bladder. How long do you sleep, Steiny? LeBron,
hey,
tell him.
How many times? Let's do it this way.
See,
let's
I just got
this
the
way.
Normal
hey,
Steiny, when I wake
get,
up.
Hold on, Goo. Hey, Steiny, yeah. You're getting old. How many times you get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom?
Not five, not six, not seven.
Oh, my gosh. Like, Dibs, I just got the normal trip. When I wake up, I go, you know?
Yeah, yeah, and you cling
that's
to that.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
Cling to it. So anyway, Steiny, yeah, getting lots done, hikes, gardening, you know. Self-pedicure, whatever. I got hours, kid. I'm up at six anyway.
Gotcha. All right, back to the Niners. Here's the one thing. Now, and this is getting back to the Rams game on Sunday. It's been an undertone all week. Yes, Garoppolo has been the main topic. There's no doubt about it. But the real problem, I think we know, is something else. And Mike McGlinchey, their offensive lineman, addressed it yesterday. Take a listen.
I think we just have to be better. I think we have to communicate the things that we're seeing. We've gotten some wild looks, some things that were, you know, new to us because of the things that they haven't shown for in packages that we haven't had yet. And we just have to go back to our concepts, go back to our base communication rules and get on people. And that's all it comes down to. We got to clean it up. We've had some tough looks, some tough situations to be in, but we got to protect better. And that's all that it comes down to.
So there it is. The offense, it all starts with the offensive line. They're struggling. The communication issues. I wish we could kind of get a little more into that because that is a real detailed part of football that we did. Do you have, Dibs, you talked to Lowe a lot about the communication.
Yeah.
You know, just what can you give us a specific example of what that might be?
Well, Lowe's taught me so much about football, and one thing he's taught me, and you can hear it on the broadcast, is the quarterback comes out and calls the mic linebacker. 52 is the mic, letting the line know either we're shifting left or we're shifting right based on where the defense lines up. If you see pressure, perceived pressure, if the defensive line is shifted one way, then the offensive line, the center, will make a call, either Louie or Randy or Lowe has his own name for him.
Right.
We're either sliding left or we're sliding right. And you saw against Miami, there was a situation where it looked like it was supposed to be a slide left. Lakin Tomlinson blocks down with the center to try to double team the guy coming through the A gap. And so the defensive end, Trent sliding to his left, all of a sudden there's a hole, you know, the side that a bus could drive through. Boom, you get a hit on the quarterback. That's a classic case where the communication failed. And, you know, you think back to last year, Goo, this line, they weren't totally flawless, but those communication mistakes weren't happening.
And I'll say this, Steiny, and I hear you, Dibs. I want to learn more, and I like the, you know, I like the technical aspect of it. But when this team went up to New York and they stayed at the, you know, at the hotel, were in New Jersey, and they were beating the likes of the Giants and the Jets.
No, that was Greenbrier, the West Virginia. It is West Virginia. America's playland.
Well, there you go. Yeah, when they were staying there, you know what, Dibs? Nobody said a damn thing about communication, and that very well may be what's ailing this old line. But you know what it sounds like to me? Excuses. Just get it fixed for the Miami for this game coming up Sunday, because nobody was talking about the lack of communication against the Jets and the Giants, and now all of a sudden you got two offensive linemen. I could be honest. I could paraphrase them. Both don't think that they're playing that bad. When normally, if somebody brought it to you and the whole unit was not getting it done, they'll just bite their tongue and own it. I don't see that from McGlinchey nor Trent Williams.
Well, they're hearing it. It's rabbit ears a little bit, and it's the Twitter sphere, and it's all of those armchair video analysts now, because we all have the capability to grab a clip and then put out your opinion on the clip. And this is not to assail Brian Baldinger, who's so good at breaking down film, but sure, if I was a player, I'd be irked too with, you know, all of the social media about, you know, the mistakes you make being highlighted.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's especially the offensive line. It's like, you know, let's say the quarterback's the superstar, so he's going to take it. But you know, it's like you're criticizing kind of the fifth man on the team whose job is to be a role player, essentially. And then you start criticizing a job that's actually more difficult and more detailed than you think. And let's face it, you don't – you know, I was a speed merchant. I played outside the numbers, Dib, so I can't really speak as an expert on the trenches.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not an expert, but I do have a strong opinion.
Which is always good. It's always good. I can't imagine you on the outside, nor can I imagine you as a, quote, speed merchant. But for the sake of the this cockamamie conversation, I played guard, Guru. It was in the Petaluma Boys Club Flag Football League. But didn't necessarily teach me much about the nuance of offensive line play. I did break my cheekbone, though, running into the back of my teammate on a sweep. I looked back to see how the running back was doing. And by the time I turned back around, I ran square into Jimmy Broderick's head and off to emergency.
Jimmy.
Yeah,
Jimmy.
Big, strong head, that Jimmy Broderick.
By the way, DeMarco Farr, 11:45, Rams sideline reporter, former Ram. He's going to join us at 11:45. He had he was busy. Which he gets.
Anybody can ask him what happened, why we had to push it back.
I'll tell you exactly why. Pre-production. No. He's the sideline report.
I know. I'll play it. Yeah. I wouldn't do it.
Maybe he's busy, Goo. You know what I'm saying?
Of course he is. Yeah, I can't wait for it.
Why?
Best damn sports show. Remember that? He was on that for a little bit, Dibs.
Good call.
Him and Chris Rose. Him and Chris Rose, Michael Irvin. What was my other guy? He had to bout with substance abuse a little bit, but he was funny. He put it together.
Now I don't want to
guess. Roseanne's husband.
John Goodman.
Tom Goodman.
No, the one Tom Arnold.
Tom Arnold.
John.
I love this.
Tom Arnold.
Yeah.
I was too busy on John Sally, one of four men ever to win titles with three different franchises, as you both well know.
There you go. Gotcha. It's not Jeopardy yet, though, Dibs.
No, but that's just a little bit of a warm-up, you know, much like the batter swings the heavy bat with the donut in the on-deck circle.
Exactly.
That's like me pine-tarring my brain, Stein. One thing I do want to ask DeMarco Farr is about the improvement of this offense, because it seems like season over season, this offense, Jared Goff and the weapons, much more prolific than last year.
Yeah, I agree. And also, it's a team that came off a Super Bowl. Probably know if there is such a thing as a Super Bowl hangover, and what are some of the symptoms. Jeopardy today at 1 o'clock, third year, that's 1 o'clock, and that is hosted by the great Whitey Gleason. Jeopardy at 1 o'clock, it's the fastest half hour in radio sometimes. We also have Guru's Gripes. How about this? I didn't realize Guru had sent me a text yesterday, Dibs, I'm sorry, during the show that said he had a gripe.
It was a DM,
It was at 1:30.
You were focused on the show, and we had good content. It wasn't a fit.
No, I like it. I want to find a place where we can schedule the gripes, because I love the gripes. It's one of the original Guru-centric bits, and I think that you know, much like Cried Me a River so many decades ago now, it's a good fixed position where you can just let your hair down a little bit. Let those waves down, Goo.
Yeah, Dibs, I got to be honest. I ain't getting big-headed here, but in the heyday of Gripes, I thought I might get a sponsor. Never happened.
Well, now's the time.
It's a new day.
It kind of failed.
It is a new day,
dude. Yeah, you guys used to have the – okay,
and
there we go.
You're rolling with the number one shill here, not only currently on 95.7 The Game, but if you look historically at who's repped more product.
Yes!
By the way, I tell you what, I'm – exhibiting some patience, but man, you guys, I hear you guys a lot during the breaks, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I want to thank the good people at Xfinity and, of course, Golden State for their continuing
support. Shout out Blue Chew. Yeah, a little Blue Chew.
Yeah, so we'll get you some nibbles, Steiny. And it all started for me with Squirt, the good people at Squirt. Oh, so many years ago.
Oh, my God. That's good stuff. What would who could sponsor Guru's Gripes? What would be the hook?
I was thinking about like maybe an anger management.
Yeah, I was thinking therapy, like a therapy or maybe a doctor practice or something.
Twitter,
Twitter. Wow,
that's not bad. By the way, a little breaking news here, and Guru, this should calm your fears because you thought this guy was going to get hosed. Tyronn Lue. L.A. Clippers, Tyronn Lue, L.A. Clippers' new head coach.
It makes sense. I will say this. I saw the great Dibs. I got an affinity for Mark Jackson, and that dude's ready for his second chance, man. That's all I'll say about
that. You're crazy.
If I was in the studio, I would have fired off any number of laugh tracks right there.
Exactly.
How many? This is a question for the boys in the back. Since Mark Jackson lost his gig with Golden State, how many jobs have changed hands? How many times has he not gotten a gig and not really been a candidate? How
not
many
five,
jobs do you
not
think?
Six, not seven.
Not 25, not 26, not 27.
There's so many of them.
Also, Daryl Morey resigning, GM of the
Nothing
Rockets.
To hang his head about. I saw your tweet, Steiny. Me and you were in the same camp.
Thank you. Thank you, Daryl.
He did some work, Dibs.
I
loose
thank
comments
you very much.
Cost his team about $500 million. But, yeah, no big deal. No big deal. You gave the Warriors a good shot.
Yeah. Anyway, if I could have one wish, it would be – well, actually, I won't even say this because this would be trolling. I was going to say, you know, if I had one wish, it would be that the Warrior fans come to respect Daryl Morey. And James Harden and the Rockets. But that would be trolling. That would absolutely be trolling.
Not going to happen here for you, G.
Thank you. DeMarco Farr is coming up, and he's going to be brought to you by, let me tell you who, by Bay Alarm. So we got DeMarco Farr, former Ram Super Bowl champion, and now their sideline reporter. We got a big ball game coming up on Sunday, and that's all sponsored by Bay Alarm. When it comes to keeping you and your business safe, Bay Alarm brings the best, like additional safety protocols with enhanced cleaning practices and protective equipment and social distancing. Because nothing matters more than your safety. Now more than ever, Bay Alarm.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's head right out to the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line and introduce former Rams defensive lineman DeMarco Farr. He was also a Super Bowl champion with the Rams. He now does sideline for them during their radio broadcast. DeMarco, thank you so much for joining us. And I'll just start here. What's the difference between the Rams this year and the Rams last year?
Well, number one, I'm in the stands now, so I can't be a sideline reporter.
True. Okay.
I kind of haunt behind like the 200 level and just kind of watch things. But the difference is, I'd say a gouging running game, a penetrating run game, a run game you can count on that you want to stay with for upwards of 25, 30 attempts a game. Keeping the pocket or at least Jared Goff clean on play action. I think that's what was really missing last season. I mean, you didn't really know how much you were going to get out of Todd Gurley from a week-to-week basis, and that kind of affected everything Sean McVay wanted to do offensively. But this year, with kind of a three-headed monster running back, it's a different offense. It's functioning. Jared Goff looks pretty good so far.
And what has that meant for the firm of Kupp, Higbee, and Woods? Because it looks like the three of them are having monster seasons.
Oh, Everett is four catches, 90 yards. Another guy that you can't sleep on is Josh Reynolds. He was kind of the fourth guy when Brandon Cooks was here. So he's a bigger receiver, bigger than Brandon Cooks. That's enough to get. But all those guys are dynamic. We were just having this conversation. There's no one go-to guy. It depends on quarter. Depends on situation. It could be Tyler Higbee's turn. It could be Cooper Kupp's turn. Cooper Kupp's turn on this drive. Robert Woods is always solid, but Jared Goff has done a real good job spreading the ball around to all his playmakers.
DeMarco, I got to ask you this because I see so many similarities with Garoppolo and your quarterback there in regard to Goff. If you had to pick one, who do you think is the better quarterback between Jimmy G and Jared Goff?
Wow, right on the spot. you know, I like Garoppolo. He's injured. He's hell when he's well, but he's kind of sick right now. But if I had to pick between the two, I would pick Jared Goff. I think there's just more to be done with a quarterback of that size. The way he plays the game, I think he has a chance to, you know, play 15, 16 years because he doesn't put himself in harm's way. He's only getting better. He's very, very accurate. He's really competitive. And, you know, he doesn't take himself too seriously. I really respect that about him. And the guys just gravitate to him in terms of his leadership. So if I had to pick between the two, I wouldn't mind picking second, but definitely I'd have to pick Goff first.
DeMarco Farr joining us on 95.7 The Game, former defensive lineman for the Rams. DeMarco, can you shed any expertise and insight when a very good defense maybe loses its best player and how the rest of the players have to compensate? And I'm getting at the 49ers losing Nick Bosa. And can you explain the ripple effect that may have on a defense?
It's really hard because, you know, these teams are so evenly matched at this level. It's a handful of guys that put you over the top. When you have some special players, that makes you a better football team on game day. So those guys are hard to replace. I can only imagine what it would be like. And I don't for the Rams to line up without Aaron Donald. He makes the defense special because he's so special. And Nick Bosa is the same way. Dee Ford, when he was at his best, bringing it off the edge. I mean, it was really, really scary for a while with those two bookends coming at Jared Goff. You thought the Rams would go a different direction in the draft because of it, but they wound up picking Cam Akers. But Nick Bosa, Dee Ford, that pass rush duo was on everyone's mind that follows the Rams or was in a Rams uniform. So when you lose those guys, I know everybody talks about next man up, but some guys you just can't replace.
And Aaron Donald comes in, and we should issue thoughts and prayers to the 49ers. Not prayers, but players, because they're going to have to double-team him, if not triple-team him. Can you send enough bodies to slow down Aaron Donald?
Well, double teams, I mean, they're effective, but not for very long. I mean, we're talking about a special guy. I've never seen anything like this in the interior. And it's all information that the defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley, is collecting. Because there's only a finite number of ways to take away a defensive tackle. Slide the center over, bring the tackle down, or run the running back through and try to chip on him. So when you start doing those certain things, well, he starts to bring the middle linebacker or bring Jalen Ramsey, who's playing the slot now or playing everywhere, but when he's in the slot, bringing him off the edge, forcing that back to step out. So whatever plan you have for stopping Aaron, and that has to be your job number one. That's paramount. Whatever plan you have, there's going to be a counter plan by Brandon Staley to make you pay for it. So that's just how special he is.
DeMarco, I told the guys I don't like this game from a Niner aspect because last year the Rams, you would have thought they won two games, but they won nine. They had to watch the Niners go to the Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan is what McVay was a year before. Does that mean anything this game that the Rams may smell blood, or are they going to be prepared just like it's a normal game?
Well, there's always something a little extra when these two teams get together. It is a rivalry. It goes back a long way. And Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan are from the same coaching tree. So there is a rivalry there. One wants to beat the other. So, but the truth of the matter is the 49ers are shorthanded. How many guys? 13 guys on injured reserve, three on PUP. You're missing some of your best players. So there's blood in the water. And think about this. from a Rams perspective, if you can go in there and knock out the 49ers, you can basically kind of end their season. You can knock them out of the division race with a victory. So not only is it 49er week, not only is it McVay versus Shanahan and the Rams versus the Niners, you have a chance to get rid of the reigning NFC champion with this game up here on Sunday. So it's doubly important. It's very important for both teams, more so for San Francisco. They need this win to stay in it. But for the Rams, you want to keep that momentum and you want to keep the hammer down when you start division play.
DeMarco, you think this is a rivalry between these two teams?
Absolutely. In my eyes, it is. It was taught to me by Jackie Slater when I was a rookie in 1994. Things are a little bit different. We used to joke around and, you know, play around in the hallways before meetings, but not during 49er week. Things change a little bit, and that has carried over. Now, when you put these two head coaches in the same division, Niners, Shanahan and McVay here, it really ramps up that rivalry. So they're both tricky. They're both offensive geniuses. They want to be the it guy in the National Football League. So, yeah, put those two guys together on the same field. It's always explosive and it's always unpredictable.
Hey, real quick, give me the name of a player on the Rams defense to look for on Sunday who benefits the most from the greatness of Aaron Donald.
Last week it was an inside line. Came out of nowhere, had three sacks, and Aaron created most of them.
But you know what, DeMarco, we just lost you for a sec. We just lost you for a sec. Give me the name. Give me the name of that player again. We just lost you.
Oh, I said last week it was Troy Reader. He's a backup inside linebacker. He had three sacks, and Aaron created most of them. But the guy who benefits the most is actually Leonard Floyd, who's the left outside backer or left defensive end in a pass rush situation. If you have to double down or slide or do anything tricky to stop what Aaron is doing, he's always matched up one-on-one. And the guy's about 6'6", so, and he's got this nice little jump swim that, you know, wins 90% of the time. So he's the guy that benefits the most. If not Aaron, it's going to be Floyd off the edge.
Great stuff, DeMarco. Really appreciate it. Travel safe up here, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, DeMarco Farr. Good stuff.
Yeah, he says it's a rivalry, dude.
Kennedy High, Guru from Richmond. Yeah. Yeah, DeMarco Farr from San Pablo. Kennedy High in Richmond. I didn't realize that he had the Bay Area ties.
Yeah, you know what? I got to tell you, that's unusual for you, Dibs.
Yeah, I appreciate that, especially when it comes to like Kennedy High, where, you know, okay, De La Salle, they've turned out 30 or 40 pros. I don't know how many NFL players have come out of Kennedy High. That's a miss on my part.
Dibs covered. Probably. Yeah, Goo, Dibs covered a lot of high school sports in his day, and he coached high school sports in his day. So anytime you hear of a player on another team, he'll know if they're from the Bay, right? Boom. Oh, from the Bay. Oh, it's from San Jose. No, Gilroy guy, sorry. I mean, he's on top of it, Goo.
Yeah.
See, Dibs, this is the evolution of the Goo. I used to live next door to Jamie and Strafon Wilson that went to Kennedy and played with DeMarco Farr, and he's the pride of Richmond. They used to always brag about him. I was going to bring it up, but then I said, you know, we don't got much time, so I just kept it to myself.
Feel free to tell any guest you love him anytime you want. Yeah. I mean,
I've done that a few times.
Yeah, you can do that. I don't have a problem with that.
I love you.
I don't have a problem with that. Hey, let me tell you what needs to be done here. You got to go to 95.7 The Game because you want to elevate your tailgate. That's a fact. So go to 95.7thegame.com or any of our social media accounts and check out the video right now with Joe Shasky and our very own Daryl the Guru Johnson. We're going to show you how to elevate your tailgate, and it's brought to you by Snake River Farms, the pioneer of American Wagyu beef. And by the way, your boy has been studying up on Wagyu beef. Also, Zenny, the official eyewear of the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah.
Hey, Dibs.
You want me to tell you a little about Wagyu beef?
Yeah.
Do we have time? It's a hell of a beef, I'll tell you that right now. I mean,
well, Dibs would know.
I got it on Mount Beefmore along with Tupac and Biggie, certainly on there. Mount Beefmore.
I was like, where's he going?
Just real quick. I had to get that real quick in there. Before you went to it, I had to get to it first.
Johnny the Gout, man, he said he loves you. He texted me because he listened to the show. Said he loves you, but you got your ass kicked probably at guard when you played there. So he just texted me that. I told him.
Yeah, it was a short run of flag football, 1979, Goo, Petaluma Boys Club. Your boy wasn't cut out. Kid. I wasn't cut out for even flag football. Too rough for me.
Hey, we've talked a lot in the offseason about the Golden State Warriors and their need to get bigger. They got to get bigger. And they're looking at a guy who would make them bigger. We'll tell you who it is right after this. And it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.